Hey, everybody. This is Gavin Durson with the Keep It Simple podcast, along with my cohort,
Tom LeCompte.
And listen, real quick, want to get a plug in. October 7th and 8th, near Lexington, Kentucky, in Wilmore, Kentucky, we're going to be having our annual Simple Church Conference. It's more of a retreat this year, so bring a sleeping bag. You're going to want to bring some clothes for hiking and this sort of a deal. It's going to be a great time. We're really excited to be at Old Wilmore Camp Meeting. If any of y'all ever went to Ichthus way back in the day, it was the original site of Ichthus, but now it's run by a ministry called Adventure Serve, and we're going to be taking the place over and hanging out for a short time, just over 24 hours, and we'd love for you to join us. Bring your whole family this year. We're going to have kids that are going to be able to be a part of it. We're going to have worship, food together, eating together, hanging out, do some training times, and we're also excited to be welcome Lee and Stacy Wood from Tampa, Florida, who are part of One Body Global there, and they've been a part of seeing God do amazing things with Simple Church in Tampa area. And we're super excited to be hanging out with them. You'll love meeting them. We'll love meeting you. Make sure you come and join us. Simple Church Conference 2017, October 7th and 8th. Register today, simplechurchalliance.com. That's simplechurchalliance.com. There'll be a tab in at the top, Simple Church Conference. Click it, and then all the details will be right there. So we hope you can join us October 7th and 8th here in Kentucky.
Hey, this is Tom.
And this is Gavin, and you're listening to Keep It Simple. Keep It Simple is a podcast devoted to exploring life with Christ through simple, organic expressions of the church.
Let's get started. Hey, welcome to the podcast today. This is Tom LeCompte.
Hey, this is Gavin Durson, and we really want to appreciate you joining us. Like, this is a pretty momentous occasion, and I think if Tom, our math serves us correct, this is episode number 100.
It is.
So we're really excited for you to be here with us today, and you know, this podcast, a lot of times we like to talk about practical matters, how to helps, and as it relates to house church, simple church, organic church, if you've been following us, you've heard a lot of those ideas. And today, being it is our 100th episode, we thought we would take a break from all that and really just focus on Jesus and talk about him. And, you know, I think, you know, Tom and I, you and I have talked a little bit about this, but I think it can be easy in any type of thing that for the thing to become something other than Jesus. And in simple church, you know, everybody has their issue. Everybody has their little thing that they're kind of like their niche thing. And we don't want simple church to ever be that. I mean, we want it to be Jesus. We want it to be about him, focused on him. Anything that we do being an outflow of our relationship with him, what we see of him in the scriptures as he's been revealed to us, we really want simple church to be all about Jesus. And that's our heart. And that's we don't want to get caught up in the how-tos, and there's a place for that, but we want to take a time out today on this 100th episode and just talk about him and remind ourselves of what this is really all about.
Yeah. And, you know, as researching a little bit of this, I went to Ephesians chapter 1, and Paul always had a prayer for his churches, and the prayer was centered around Jesus and how to understand him better. And well, what he says is Ephesians 1, starting, I have verse 22, and God placed all things under his feet, Jesus, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. And, you know, we could spend weeks doing, you know, a whole bunch of Greek study on that, and well, we're not going to do that. But the first thing that struck me was, you know, the church is the fullness of Christ on this earth. And if we're going to be a good church, we're going to represent Christ. And people are going to understand Christ through the church and through us and through his people. So how are we representing? And that's sobering to me. And that really hit me hard. And I'm wondering, what if people look at my life, look at me, look at my church, are they attracted to Jesus or repulsed by Jesus? Or the, you know, I can understand them being repulsed by me or some of the things I do and say, and maybe some of the actions of our church, but I sure hope, you know, they're not repulsed by Jesus.
Yeah.
And I just want, I don't want to misrepresent Jesus in any way. I don't want to sugarcoat him. I don't want to make him, try to make him, you know, hide the reality that is Jesus. I don't want to hide any of that or misconstrue it in any way in order to attract people. So I want to represent Jesus truthfully and accurately and enthusiastically. And I struggle with enthusiasm myself, you know, as well as truthfulness and accuracy. But enthusiasm, you know, I want people to look at me and say, hey, there goes Tom. There's the Jesus guy. But I'm pretty sure that's not what they're thinking. You know, there's the dull guy, you know. It's like, I don't know what he's about. That verse has been on my mind the past few days as we're preparing for this podcast. But, you know, it was important for Paul, you know, in his missionary journeys. And I mentioned this before on the podcast. You know, Paul had a lot to say, but he always, when he followed up with his churches, especially through his letters, and I'm thinking of, you know, letters to the Corinthians, one of the things he said was, you know, this isn't about us. This is about Christ, and we want to represent Christ and him crucified, and we want to be your servants for his sake. So, you know, even Paul, he wasn't about a movement or trying to establish something. He just went around and said, this is Christ. This is Christ, and follow him. And that's what I want to be. And I hope that's what the church is, and I hope that's what our churches are.
Yeah. And I think that's so good because I think somewhere along what happens is that, and I believe this wholeheartedly, that what we're about here is about that proclamation, that call, and staying out of the way. You know, it's like, yeah. I think we try to, you know, that to me is what Simple Church in a nutshell is about in a lot of ways. It's, hey, follow Jesus. You are free to follow him. You can follow him. Follow him in a community of people. But we like to complicate it so much by throwing in all of these other things that, you know, 10 years down the road, I mean, I was talking to a guy this morning and he was saying, man, like, I started out wanting to follow Jesus and I started out wanting to help others follow him and have relationships with people that are wanting to follow Jesus. And somehow I found myself in this church where I've got these people asking me if I'm in or I'm out, if I'm going to be a board member, if I'm going to say yes to be an elder and starting this new church and starting this whole thing and doing these Bible studies and all these sorts of things. And it's like somewhere, somehow, some way, for him, he was sharing his heart. It was just like, I long to just follow Christ and do that with other people who want to follow him. But somehow it's become about all these other things. And I think, you know, that's what we're trying to be about here is we want to help people simply follow Jesus and be about that message and let people see that it is a way that is possible. And, that's what to me, my heart is in this. And, you know, I was thinking back, and thinking about this podcast, and when I first became a Christian, and when I first encountered the risen Christ in my life, I mean, I think there was some things God showed himself to me when I was young in some kind of unique ways, but I mean, the first time that I ever really remember meeting him and knowing that he was real, it happened because a handful of people invited me to talk, to sit down, and to ask questions, and to explore my deepest doubts or my questions about the Bible, my questions about Jesus. It was sitting around in a small group of people and having just the opportunity to be honest and open about my doubts and beliefs that Jesus showed up in my life like in an undeniable way. I mean, he literally, his presence, I experienced his presence and I heard his voice for the first time in my life, calling me to follow him in a gentle way. It wasn't an audible voice, but it was that still small voice in my heart saying, Gavin, you're not going to ever figure all this out, but this is what it means to live a life of faith and to trust me. And that was my first experience where I knew Jesus was real and he came into my life and I said yes to him. And my yes was a yes to the invitation to simply follow him, knowing that I'm not ever going to have all the answers. And I think sometimes when we talk about church, we can immediately get into this position where we have all the answers. And now we're about sharing all the answers with everyone. And I hope that if anyone's been listening to this podcast, that we've not come across that because as that way. Certainly there are things that we're learning, but it's all under the umbrella of like, man, we want to help people find friends and others that are committed to following Jesus where they can ask the questions, seek the answers, seek him and his presence, and go along for the ride, you know. And I don't know, to me, that, you know, I just think about that time. It's always been through relationships, open, honest, transparent relationships where I felt permission to be honest about my doubts and insecurities and struggles, that Christ has made himself known and his presence has been, boom, super real and tangible. He showed up, you know, and and I was thinking about, I think I've shared this on this podcast before, but I can remember some of the times like that. I can remember one moment in particular. I was sitting in my living room. It was when we were hosting a house church meeting. We were sharing the Lord's Supper together. And that was another moment in my life where I remember just sensing his pleasure and presence, like in a real thick, tangible way, unlike anything I've experienced, where it was like, man, he was pleased. He was there. He was real. He was present. And it was wonderful. And, you know, to me, that's what Simple Church is about. It's about creating a community of people, being an opening up a space where Jesus can be present and be real, and he has the opportunity to speak to people and to make himself real to others as he has me at various points in my life through the asking of questions, through honest love and friendship, you know. And man, I'm to me, it's all about him.
Yeah, you know? I agree. While you were saying all that, the thing that came to my mind was peace.
Yeah.
You know, that to me defines my relationship. And to think that we have peace with God, and to think that we, you know, the God of the universe, he created us and he loves us, but we're so miserable, you know, in our sin that we can't even stand in his presence. Unless we have someone to stand beside, or stand with, or stand behind, or stand for us, and that's Christ. I've told you I like to go kayaking, so I go around and I look at God's creation, and when I look at God's creation, I don't think, man, how did this evolve and stuff like that. I just think, wow, what a clever creator and creative creator that made all this stuff and made all this variety, and he knows me. And he loves me, and he knows how many hairs are on my head, and this is because of Jesus. No other reason. And I didn't earn anything. I didn't earn anything of God's favor, and I could never. And I just enjoy the idea of having peace with God. You know, and life gets crazy. You know this. We were talking about this earlier. Life gets chaotic, but There's always that peace, and all we have to do is just breathe in, relax, and just reflect on that. You know, we got bills, we got trouble, we got chaos, but we have peace with God.
Yeah,
and that's through Christ. And how as a church can I how as an individual Christian can I convey that, and then how as a church can we represent that and convey that?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've done 100 of these episodes, and I think it could
be
99. And if you followed along at any given time, you probably, you know, maybe not enough. I think it's easy to come in here and for us talk, here's how you do Lord's Supper. Here's how you share the gospel. Here's how you host a house church meeting. Here's some challenges we're facing. Here's what you do about the kids. And I think all that stuff's important, but I feel like I'm constantly in this tension of like coaching practical tips to people and helping them to like do put themselves in practical, like given practical advice for simple church or discipleship versus this other side of that. Is Jesus enough? Like, does Jesus, you know, what does that mean? Like, is Jesus enough? And I say, yes, he is. Like, in some very real sense, like, this podcast is not needed. I mean, yeah, it's like all you need is Jesus. He is enough. You don't need Jesus plus this podcast.
Or any podcast
or any other book, you know. But then at the same time, like, Jesus lives in you, Tom. He lives in me. And Jesus is using all of us to build up the church, and we all have different functions and roles. So there is a sense in which I think, hopefully, this podcast is a reflection of Jesus. The things that we're sharing, even the practical things, are coming from his heart and helping others and us to walk with him and experience him in this world. But I think we can't lose sight of that. Like, and there is a very real sense in which, like, Jesus is enough. And he's enough for your salvation. He's enough for your sins to be wiped clean. He's enough for your healing. He is enough for your church. He's enough for you to be able to live and function and breathe and enjoy this world that he's created and put you in. He is enough. He is sufficient. He is all sufficient. And I think that if you're out there listening to this podcast, you probably came here today because you think, oh, I like to, I'm kind of interested in simple church. I'm kind of thinking that, I mean, I think we have to believe that. Like, we have to get to that place where we say, you know what? Like, I don't know all the answers or how this is going to work or what this life can look like, but I know that Jesus is enough. Like, he is sufficient for me, for my family, for the church, for my friends, he is sufficient, and everything needs to be fleshed from, I think, out of that starting point. One of my favorite passages about Christ in all the Bible, which sort of just talks about, and it's amazing to think about this in light of him living in us, and there's so much there that's mysterious and that we can't fully comprehend, but it's one I'm sure many folks are familiar with, but it's Colossians 1, 15. He says, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant." And, that is, man, the message that I want to become a servant of and proclaim.
Yes.
And, you know, I love that passage. And it's amazing to think about that this is the reason. This is our hope. This person, Jesus, is whom it's all built upon. He's the head of the church. You know, he's the cornerstone. He's the one that holds it all together. I mean, and it seems silly to maybe say we can't forget Jesus, but I think in our day and age, and even in the Christian world, and simple church can be not immune from that.
We can start to talk
about, you know, theology, strategies, practices, helps and tips and all of these things, and we can forget Jesus. Like, we would be foolish to think that we would be immune from that. I mean, that's been the history of the church throughout the age, and that's why Paul is having to write these letters, and why we're doing this podcast is hopefully to remind you and me, Tom, first and foremost, because that's why we did this podcast in the beginning, was to help us, to help us stay encouraged in our journeys with Christ outside the traditional church, if you will. But hopefully we're here to remind all of us of that, that might be listening as well, that it is about him. And if it's not about him, it's going to be a human made group. And I've been a part of plenty of those, and I don't want to be a part of, I don't have time to
waste. We don't need to be a club.
Yeah. So we're our issue. We're our main thing is house church, and we get together and talk about simple church and why it's simple church is awesome and better and these sorts of things. I mean, we need to be building. He needs to be the head of everything. And, that is why I do love simple church and why I have enjoyed this journey with God and have experienced him in my home and others' homes and parks and everything. Just seeing him become more the head. What does it really look like to let him be the head? And what does it look like to be a body?
Or to watch people discover Christ.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That is, especially someone who's never heard before, and to watch them make those discoveries and say, I had this misconception about Jesus, but you say he's like this.
Yeah.
This is what he did for me. That's amazing. You know, why wouldn't I follow him?
Yeah.
I want to see more of that in our churches. So, well, we said we weren't going to get practical, but I feel like we need to kind of get a little practical. Are there some practical things that any simple church could do to keep the focus on Christ? I mean, it's so easy to get derailed. How could we practically stay focused on Christ? What are some tangible, practical things that we can do, you know, besides just talk about this?
Yeah.
Are there some practical things?
Well, I think Jesus gave us some, you know, I think the Lord's Supper, you know, I think he gave us the Lord's Supper as that very practical way to keep him as the focus. And
not the way that we've been doing it.
Yeah. And I don't know if there's a rule about how or which way you can and can't do it. But I think that if at the base level, when you get together, if you're thinking about, we're meeting here to have a meal with Jesus, and that's why we're here. Uh-huh. And it's about him. It's about breaking bread with him in his presence and remembering what he has done, what he did do, and what he's going to do. And, you know, whether you like to get crackers and juice or use real wine or these sorts of things, you know, we've talked about.
Or real food.
Or real food or have it as a whole meal or have it as a more of a ritual or set it in a buffet line with the other food that people get as they go through or whether you do it as this thing, you know.
But I mean, we've talked about those. It's not about what food you're eating or how you're eating it. It's about the remembrance, isn't it? That's the whole thing about communion is I'm taking time to reflect on what Jesus has done for me and because of my sinfulness. And I know I've been to churches where let's dwell on the sinfulness. Don't take communion unless you've confessed all your sins. So just sit there for a while in silence and think about how sinful you are before you take the communion. That, I don't know. I mean, that, I guess that's kind of helpful. But, you know, Steve Atkerson, the New Testament Restoration, NTRF, whatever that is, he has some good articles about what communion really should be like. And that's, you know, it's a celebration. I mean, just think about what the first communion was the Passover meal in the upper room. And the Passover meal was a celebration. It was a feast. It was a joyful time. And it was a time of reflecting on what God did for his people. And that's exactly what communion should be. It's a time to reflect on what God is doing for his people and what God has done and what God has done through Christ. And it should be joyous. It should be fun. It should be fantastic.
Some of the best, like I was sharing earlier, I mean, some of the best simple church meetings I've been a part of have been simply, they've never left the table. I mean, it's been, we sit down, we share Christ, we break bread, we share the cup, and we simply say, you know, share something. Let's remember Jesus here today. What has he done for you? Mm-hmm. And I've literally sat at tables for hours before with folks, and there's been tears shed, Bibles opened, and prayers prayed in the middle of wolfing down food and dessert and time staying still. And it's almost as if man, you know, to me, those have been some of the more rich times where we had something else even planned, but God interrupted it by just simply remembering him. And I think I feel like a broken record a lot of times. I mean, you can, but I mean, I've told many people, hey, whether or not you're a part of a simple church or not, why don't you just try that sometime and try inviting some friends over for dinner and breaking bread and saying, you know, before we eat, I want to pray and I want us to share a couple things that are important to me. And as we meet tonight, I would like for us to kind of remember, what has Jesus done in your life, or has he ever done anything in your life? And throw that question out on the table and be willing and vulnerable to go first and see what happens, you know. And something like the kingdom a lot of times breaks through in those moments, and Jesus, the risen Savior, sits down right there at the table with us, and he's there and present. You know, I think that's, to me, like, I mean, we can make up little things, but I mean, I think there's no greater thing to think of than the Lord's Supper and making sure, you know, are we is that why we get together? Do we get together for something else? Is it to remember him? And, you know, again, I think that maybe should go without saying, but, you know, I'd be lying if I didn't say, you know, sometimes we can get together and start singing and eating, and we start talking about the Bible and prayer requests, and we can forget that, wait a minute, like, Jesus is here. Like, wait a minute, what has he done? Why are we here? The only reason we're here is because of him. Like, that's why we're here. We're here because of him. We're here because of what he did. We're free because of what he did, his sacrifice. We're meeting here today in many ways as a proclamation that we're going to meet again someday in the future with him in his real physical presence, with all the brothers and sisters that have gone before us on that great day when there's a grand banquet and we're reunited with him in person. I mean, there's so much there, and
something related to that's very practical, that anyone can do, or any group can do, is if you haven't had the opportunity to do this, I would highly recommend you do it at least once, maybe every year, but at least once. And that is, do a Passover Seder. Have you ever done a Passover?
I have not.
You should.
I take that back. I did. I have done that once. It's been a long time ago. Yeah.
It's been a long time. But if it's done right, and if you have a good like a host, I guess, that can explain everything, you'll rethink communion. I mean, communion will be so different for you. But what a Christian take on the Passover Seder would do for you is take all of the elements of the original Passover. And all of the concepts of deliverance and rescue and slavery and sin and things like that, and put it in a very symbolic representation of what Christ has done for us. You know, Christ is the Lamb who took away the sin of the world. He's our Passover Lamb. He is our deliverance. He's our deliverer. Yeah. And you'll never see boring communion the same. You know, you won't be satisfied with just a small cracker and a little thing of grape juice. It will change the way you think.
Yeah.
Not only about communion, but how you remember Christ.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to remember. You know, we're sheep and we're kind of stupid, and all through the Bible, God put all of these object lessons in for us to remind us. And that's what we need. We need object lessons. And that's very practical. It's very doable. We need those object lessons to remind us, because we're thick-headed. We're knuckleheads. We need to be reminded constantly.
Yeah. Well, how about we close out our time in prayer? And we'd like to pray for you. And as you have been a faithful listener to this program, and we appreciate some of your own. We have talked a lot about people sending in, and a few of you have started to do that. So I want to give a shout out to Jim Siva, who's out there in Ohio, Madison, Ohio. Thanks for shooting us a comment, and said that you really appreciate listening to the podcast, and it's been helping you to grow. And I've enjoyed, I actually met with Jim a couple times on the phone and Skype as a result of this podcast. So appreciate him reaching out to us, and appreciate his work up in Ohio, praying for simple churches to happen there for him. And he and his new wife, they're getting married, I believe, this week. So thanks for checking in with us, Jim. And if you'd like to do that, feel free to shoot us a line. We'd love to hear from you. But today we had just closed in prayer, and thank you guys for listening. It's on our 100th episode. Tom, you want to close us out in prayer?
Sure. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you. Lord, we can do nothing but thank you and give you praise for being who you are and for rescuing us, for delivering us, saving us. Let us never fail to remember that. And Lord, as a church, let us never fail to represent you and represent you well and to declare your good news and to cause others to be conformed to your image and to change this world, Lord, and turn this world upside down for you and redeem what we can. And Lord, we look forward to a day where things will be the way you originally created them and that your kingdom will fully come. And so we just pray for those listening as they participate in their
yes,
churches,
Lord,
that they would be your body, they would be your earthly representative, your earthly hands and feet and mouth, and that we would speak your words, think your thoughts, know your presence, know your power, and just carry your light into the darkness wherever we go. We ask these things in your name.
Amen. Thank you all for joining us. We'll see you back next time with Keep It Simple Podcast.
Thanks for listening to Keep It Simple. If you've enjoyed this podcast, leave us a comment at keepitsimplepodcast.com or find us on iTunes or Facebook. We welcome your feedback, your ratings, your questions, or comments.